A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and today is a little bit rainy. I know I went out there, and my gracious, it's quite cold, too, to be honest with you. But thank goodness for being able to be inside and have a warm house and all those things. I'm very grateful for that in those seasons of life where you kind of think upon those who, you know, oftentimes you would consider the homeless people, people that don't have a place to reside in. So it makes you appreciative for what you do have. I'm grateful for that. And got to go to Charlotte this morning and do some training on some new heating and air conditioning equipment and so on. So it's always fascinating to kind of listen to how things are evolving. And I guess, you know, one of the things of being in the HVAC industry for so long is the progression towards, technology, communication, a lot of data, you know, that's stored. It's almost like everything is kind of headed that towards that playing field, if you will, that you got to have, you know, even like for these smart thermostats and stuff like that, you know, you got to be connected to the internet. Gone are the days of just a simple on or off switch, you know, mechanical or analog, as we would call it. You know, I still use analog refrigerant gauges. A lot of the guys now that are in the trade, they use the digital. So I guess, I don't know, I just always like the analog gauges. Those other gauges, the digital ones, are very pricey. So talking about some different lingo this morning, that's kind of boring. Was able to swing by the hospital and pray with a church member, senior church member there, and just spent a little time with her today as well. As I was waiting there, because they were moving somebody, I had to go down a hall, and they were moving a bed out of one of the rooms. It looked like there were some family members that were waiting to get into the room to go see their loved one there. And, you know, it seems to be so familiar with the situation of being at the hospital and, you know, loved ones that are in there and just kind of whatever those uncertainties are, you know, and especially, I guess, when it gets towards, you would say, some elderly age, the life that once was has kind of started to come to some conclusion. And my heart goes out to those family members, because I know that in that time that they're dealing with things, you know, that's not the person they once knew. You know, I've often said that about, like, my grandma, and how she kind of started gradually fading with her health, and, you know, things kind of went that direction. But I guess it's a reminder too for the believer that if we are, you know, striving to find some fulfillment from the body or some joy that we think is here on this earth, the flip side of that is there is joy, and there are things that we are thankful for, and how God has granted us to again experience and have these times where we either had family members or just all the different ways in which we look back at one's life and the experience and the joys. But, you know, even at the highest moment of wherever that was, while living this life, that as it starts to descend, maybe for I guess, a lack of description as our life starts to descend and it starts to basically fade away from how maybe we once were, or how we once acted and we were able to do and thrive. We're our bodies start to wear. But even in that, as our bodies start to wear and as things start to decay, you know, it's a good reminder that it's not over. And I think that also gives peace not only to the person that's in the moment of them actually maybe even dealing with being in the hospital and being in a hospital bed, but I also think it's a comfort to the family, you know, by knowing that the comfort that God gives us to make it through, you know, even though it's difficult and it can be very, you know, heartbreaking to see our loved ones in that position. And then maybe even one day we ourselves go through that. But then the consolation and the peace that God provides for us. So I'm thankful for that, you know. One thing about this lady that I saw today is that she was not really involved in conversation, but when I finally asked her after kind of, you know, somewhat talking with her, just limited conversation, I finally said, you know, do you mind if I pray with you? And she stopped and we prayed. And so that tells me that God works and that we can pray to him and he is there and he answers prayer and he cares for his children. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful with all the infirmities and the things that can weigh upon us. It has no precedence on God. It has no power over him, and that he reigns in full authority. So thank you, Lord, for just that reminder today. Thank you, Lord, for letting me see how you continue to take care even in difficult times. And I think that's a hope that we can share in because of what God continues to do in our lives. So here we are, and just going to move right along into the book of James. Just kind of wanted to share a little bit of thought about that. And and by the way, too, I almost forgot about this. If you're at Sam's Club, or I guess any of those big box, you know, stores. The other day I bought those lightly salted cashews, you know, and I have really enjoyed those. I've probably enjoyed those more than I should. I think Reagan would say the same. But anyway, check them out. Now I'm rubbing something off on you. Well, we had discussed yesterday James chapter 3. And we started out with those two verses, and we'll continue on here in James 3, verse 3. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, redirect their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how a great forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of the reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening? And does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. You know, oftentimes I have equated the whole situation of the tongue being so small, right? And as the Bible clearly describes it. And I've sometimes even used the example of a fishing weight. So I like to go, I don't know if any of you have ever went fishing at the ocean. I know there are a lot of people that go fishing at lakes. Just bear with me on this one. But I've always enjoyed fishing on the ocean. I guess a lot of it is because, you know, especially surf fishing, where you fish right there on the sand. And, you know, with the kids and all, it's just, you can kind of have, right? You can kind of have the best of both worlds. The kids can play, and you can actually set up a fishing pole and put it in a piece of PVC in the sand and let it go. It's fun. Should try it out. And your kids might even like it too. But, you know, there's different ounces of weight that you can use when you're fishing in the ocean because, you know, the current and whatever may be going on. And usually, more times than not, I mean, you use like a 3 to 4 ounce weight. And so, if you look at the average tongue, as far as the weight, you'd say 4 ounces. And I remember the first time I used that as an illustration and passed it around, and people, you know, are holding it and it's like, oh, that's not really that heavy. But as James says, so small, but yet so powerful. You know, not something of great muscle mass, right? But yet it can do so much. I mean, just what and how the Bible describes what we do, you know. And I think one of the passages here in James that really comes to me when I think upon it is verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. So still kind of a comparison to the commandment of love God and love others, and just how that represents that, you know, how we treat one another, how we treat in reference to when we speak to God, and, you know, how we communicate with Him, even when things maybe are painful in our heart, and maybe we're struggling, and maybe we get angry about things. You know, I sometimes have looked at my kids, more so I would say probably Mr. Owen Lake. I'm going to pick on him for a little bit. Reagan's going to get me because she's going to say I always pick on him, but it's because he's right here in front of me, I'd say. But still, that's no excuse. But anyway, you know, he can get mad and stomp sometimes if he doesn't get his way, being a 7-year-old. And I think sometimes we as adults, when maybe we get upset or frustrated, you know, we can react off of those things that happen, and maybe we say things, and we can maybe even say it towards God or say it towards others. We can get sarcastic. I mean, that's a very true statement of even myself. But, you know, we have to be careful. We have to be careful with something that is so small and yet can do so much. But on the flip side of that, I also feel the importance of what it can be used for. You know, it's like there's the warning of, you know, of course, what it could do from a negative standpoint, right? But then the other way in which we have to kind of maybe restructure our mindset to some point is saying, you know, well, what is it that I can do for the glory of God that will give him glory from this tongue, what comes out of this mouth? And I feel that should also be a point for us to kind of ponder on, if you will. And he also, I mean, James pretty much, you know, he says it in so many ways, but doesn't say it. When he says, can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs, nor can salt water produce fresh? So if you say you're a Christian, then let Christian talk come out of your mouth. You know, let things that should come up, you know, for what we should do. And I think that's important for us to look at this passage and understand that's our responsibility. If he's given us these warnings, right, to be careful on how we speak, then it leads us into the direction of speaking kindly and using our tongue for the glory of God. You know, speaking these truths for his glory and not something that we're trying to accomplish for ourselves. I think that's very, very important for us to remember as we, you know, look at how James is implying these truths for the tongue, because we use it every day, right? We use our tongue every day. Notice what it says here in Proverbs. Like this verse, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. You know? So that using it for what God intended it to be used for. Yeah. And I think you could basically apply that principle to a lot of things in our life. We would dare say maybe that is a simplistic approach, but I don't know. As I get older, you know, maybe we should keep it that way. I saw a thing today that said KISS, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. I know. There would probably be a lot of people who's like, what did he just say? He's ignorant. Yeah, I know. But, you know, I think that's the beauty of God's word. There's no mystery. There's no mystery that we're sitting there trying to decipher something and figure it out. God's word is truth, and it penetrates the heart, and the Bible clearly, you know, cuts us and shapes us into exactly how God desires for us to be. And I think that as we look at James 3 and he describes this tongue, you know, let's remember how we speak. Let's praise God and be thankful. And let's also talk to others around us, other humans, whether they be black, white, Asian, Mexican, Indian, whatever may be the case, whatever their culture. Let us speak to these humans as God created them as humans. Let us be compassionate and loving, you know. Let us praise God. Let us love Him and adore Him. And let us say it in a way. And let us also speak these truths to others around us. Use the tongue for what God intended it, and not for the way that man has corrupted it. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.